into the air, and this Lord's Day. So looking at leadership in the church, one of the things that came up last week was the thoughts with reference to more detail on how we appoint leaders. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to incorporate that into the teaching over the next few weeks. So we'll actually cover that in a bit more detail so we can have a better understanding. We'll also recap on some of the key things that we've looked at already with reference to leadership, the authority, where that authority comes from, how we understand this subject, and then what we'll do is we'll kind of do a summary with reference to that. And as I've said, we'll have an opportunity where we'll open a time where we can have a kind of discussion as well, if need be, on that. What I want us to do today, we're going to look at evangelists. We're going to look at evangelists, ministers, preachers, evangelists, ministers. I want to kind of just touch on this a little bit. Everything links together, and all these subjects that we're looking at all link together. We're also going to be looking at some point, we're going to be looking in detail to the church members as well, because we have responsibilities to our leaderships, we have responsibilities to the church, we have responsibilities to ourselves, to our families, and also the commission, the Great Commission, and the work that we do. And of course, that is another role. As the Christian walk, we all have responsibilities there. So I'm going to just recap again. I just kind of look over some of the key things with reference to this aspect of a preacher. And again, we're still going to continue on as we're touching on eldership. And we're going to be doing deacons. We're going to, following this, God willing, we'll move on to deacons. And then we'll be looking at the church before we go into detail into how we appoint these different roles and the process. If there is a process, what is the process and how is that done? And so we'll kind of focus maybe one or two classes just on that area alone. So let's look at our first passage of scripture. As I say, we're starting then, we're just looking at the evangelist, preacher, minister, and that's the role we're looking at. So our first passage that we're going to look at this morning, and some of these keep popping up, you'll keep seeing them. And that's okay, you know, the more we read them, the more we familiarise ourselves with them and we connect with these, it'll help us in what we're trying to achieve. So we're going to read our first passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read verse 2, please.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction.
Okay, thank you, brother. Preaching the word, ready, in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. A preacher, preach the gospel. This is the responsibility that he will have, to preach the gospel, the word of God, to who? The world. Of course, we all have a responsibility to tell the world the message. But primarily as we look at this study in specific with the preacher, that will be expected of the preacher, a responsibility. Methods and audiences change, but the word remains the same. How the preacher may preach in Africa may be different to how the preacher preaches here in the UK, or how the preacher preaches in the USA. It may be slightly different in respect of the process that they use. But however, the methods and audiences might change, but the word remains the same. That is the key. The absolute key is the word of God. So for example, some preachers may have access to TV, and so they will use TV. I know for a time I had stuff that went on TV, and it was used on TV. The same with radio. Some may use radio. Some may use video recordings as we call it video. Nowadays it's all technology, isn't it, and electronics. Face-to-face, social media, in the streets, talking to people, one-to-one. The pulpit preaching, missions, lots of ways of process, but every single avenue within the means. And somebody in a preaching role, you would expect them to utilise and make good the opportunities that come their way. The preacher is responsible for sowing the seed. No seed sowing, you're not going to have a harvest, are you? And of course, again, remember, we're looking at the preacher, but this does not take away from the congregation and the brethren and the church as well, each and every one of us. But however specifically we look at this topic, we understand that. So the preacher's first job and foremost would be to preach. You'd expect that. That's what he's a preacher. Be teaching the word, first and foremost. That would be the task. Some of the areas that we've looked at already, and we'll touch on again, and you'll see how things link together. Again, if we look in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5.
For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint others in every state.
Okay, thank you, brother. So again, another responsibility. Why did Titus need to set these things in place? Why elders? Do you know, sometimes I think we have this concept where you have a church and you build the church up, you build the numbers up, and you get your building, and there's the preacher, and then later down the line, maybe 10, 12, 30, 40, 15 years ago, maybe we're ready for elders now, but that is not how it was designed. Okay, Titus was told to set in place elders there and then, you know, to start to put in place the things that are lacking, to set up these things that are lacking. Now, in the New Testament, do you know the elders were the main teachers? They were the main teachers. In fact, I remember a study way back, I think, Brother Lucky, you commented, you know, sometimes when elders are in place, a preacher moves on in some cases because the elders would fill that space. And I can recall that coming up in a conversation. So, you know, that's how they did that in the Old Testament times. You know, in the New Testament, the elders were the main teachers. The church must be elder-led. And that is why this topic is so important, that we don't put it on the back burner and say this is something that one day maybe we can progress to. This is something that we need to be focusing on. This is something that is necessary in order for things to be as the church should be. And so, as opposed to sort of saying, well, okay, we've got a building, we've got a big group of people, we've got a preacher, and maybe sometime down the line we'll consider elders. Really, the priority is elders. As we've looked at in our studies recently, the elders are the shepherd of the flock. And so the Lord is saying, listen, I've got a flock of people and I need a shepherd. I need shepherds, not shepherd. I need shepherds in that field with my flock, protecting my sheep, protecting my people, protecting the church. And so therefore it was a priority. And so that is why he said to Titus, I want you, as we look in our passage, and it says in there, it says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. So it's deemed that there are things lacking until these things are in place. And so that then makes this priority that is there, and that would be the part of the role of the preacher to enable these things and assist and support these things to happen. The elders are visible and active in the church, and it's very important, the teachers. And it was necessary to appoint them because the church needed it to get going. The church needed the elders in place in order for the church to progress and to grow, to become strong. And it's a false understanding if we assume that what we do is we grow and prepare ourselves, then get the elders. The elders are part of the growth process. And so in order for the church to grow, the elders are in place the responsibility then of a preacher would be to assist in getting that to happen and take the kind of priority with that. And so that was important. The preacher's job is to establish and organise the church according to the New Testament pattern. And so all these things, the things that are in the scripture that we've been looking at, you know, the last few weeks we've been looking at these things from the scripture, they're our guides. You know, it's not what we think or what we assume, but we look at these guides. And if you remember, we looked at examples and we also looked at things that were structurally written so that we could clearly understand the importance of these. And so the preacher's job is to establish and organise the church according to the New Testament pattern so that the elders and deacons can then do their work, so that they can actually set about to do their work. That way then the structure is in place according to scripture, according to the plan that God had in place. You hear the word minister. We'll look at this one in Titus 2 and verse 1.
You ask for you to speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine.
Okay. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Not opinions, not views, not your own mind. The job is to preach and teach the things that are the structure of the church. So as we've been looking at eldership, we've been looking at the structure based on not opinion, but on the word of God. We've been seeing the examples, we've seen what is structured and what is laid out, but also the things that are important. Now the Apostle Paul here is instructing Timothy and Titus, okay? He's instructing them both of the importance of ministering to the spiritual needs of the church. The spiritual needs of the church. And so you've got a vast area of tasks that if you haven't got elders in place at that time, then the preacher would have these roles. I know for people who have served as preachers or those certainly who have grown up with their parents as preachers, you know, they would understand that is part of the process, the importance of ministering to the spiritual needs of the church. In other words, you're giving the church the things that enable them to grow and mature. This is a difficult journey. Everything has to have purpose. Not to have classes just to give people things to remember. So you can say, I can remember the kings of the Bible. These things are good. It's a bit like learning, you know, what is the process behind the teaching? What's the thought process behind it? You know, as we've looked at the kings in the Bible, what, why? Why were we studying the kings of the Bible in our midweek class? Because we were trying to establish the relationship between the king and between God. We were looking at the relationship between those on the earth and God in heaven. We were looking at the relationship now with the prophet's relationship with God. That is the purpose, is to get something from it that we can use in our life. So instead of just having a head full of information about lists of kings and prophets and knowing where they all are, we're talking about utilising the examples of the lives of these people in the Word of God to develop our lives. That is why it is important, because these are spiritual requirements, these are spiritual needs. I'm a strong believer that every lesson, every class, everything we do, there has to be something that we can take from it. And it may not always be what we want to take. It might be something that really is hitting home. It's saying, I've got a change in my life, or I've got to do something in my life. But it may be encouragement as well. So many things. How do I build a relationship with God? God in the Old Testament is the God in the New Testament. It's the same God. Same God. And so if I can see the examples of how the kings related to God, and you see the examples of how the prophets related to God, and you see how God spoke through the prophets and spoke to the Israelite people as we're looking in the northern and southern kingdoms, in the divided kingdoms, how he is getting his message across because he's trying to develop their lives. That is what the task is. making sure that the congregation is a congregation who can quote everything and has got all these lists of things in their book. A congregation that is finding ways to live this difficult life in a relationship with a real God and the God that matters. And so Paul understands this, and so he's telling Timothy and Titus, this is your task as ministering to the spiritual needs of the church. And when elders are in place, then elders become the spiritual feeders. They become the ones who nurture and the ones that are there to guide and protect in teaching, in encouragement, and along with discipline as well. You know, it's not always what we want to hear. You know, you go to the doctor, and the doctor doesn't always give you good news. I don't want to hear that. I'd much prefer to go to the doctor and he taps me on the head and he says, Mr. Hill, you're okay. I don't want to sit there and my doctor say, now, Mr. Hill, you've got a problem. We've got to address this problem. You don't want to hear that, but I need to hear it. And when I hear these things, then I think to myself, right, I've got to do so. I've got a problem. I've got to do something about this. Otherwise, physically, I'm going to deteriorate. Now, in our spiritual walk, this is exactly the view that we should have. You know, when your minister, when your elders are addressing subjects that are affecting your spiritual health, that is a spiritual medical issue. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Am I going to take offense at that, or am I going to say, okay, I've got a spiritual problem here? This is going to make my spiritual well-being and my relationship with God deteriorate. And so the work is to help the church to walk the path. It's not just standing at the pulpit. You know, the purpose behind it, and I know speaking with preachers in this congregation, you talk with them, they'll tell you. You don't just throw a lesson together, you spend time preparing, thinking about what is needed. And searching the classes as well. How can we help? What is needed? How will the church grow? How will the church benefit? Now, the church needs to respond to the call. We need to respond to the call of the gospel. We have a responsibility, and we'll look at that when we come on to that. But also, the church has a responsibility to respond to things that we hear and learn, because these things are things we need to spiritually keep us strong. And so the preacher, the elders, all of these will be focused on these areas. And as we've been looking at that, that is why when you select the elders, when these elders they come forward, you can see them, they're already doing the work, really. And you see them, and you think to yourself, these are the people that I know I'm going to get fed from. These are the people that are going to keep me. Yeah, I want to, when I go to my doctor, I want to sit in front of somebody who knows what they're talking about, or at least can find the answers. It was interesting, a time I was at the doctor's, and he was looking up. He didn't have the answer, but he was looking at them. And so it's knowing where to find those answers. And so we have a responsibility as Christians to support the preachers. We have the preacher, we have a responsibility to support each other. We have a responsibility to support the ministry. Responsibility in so many areas in our walk with life. Praying for our preachers, praying for our elders, praying for our leaders. Praying for those in responsible tasks within the congregation. It's all part of it. We will look at that as we come to this part of the lesson. Now, if we have elders in place, we are in submission to them. Okay? We're in submission to them. Why? Because they're spiritual leaders. These are men of the word. These are men of the word. To the leaders of the congregation, but all of us, including elders and preachers, are in submission to the word of God. That is the key. And so that is why the preacher preaches the word of God. The elders teach the word of God. The guide comes through the Word of God. Everything that we have, everything, how we progress, how we grow, how we develop, comes through the Word of God. Being in submission to them is being in submission to the Word of God. And that is a very important point. All of us, including the elders and the preachers, are in submission to the Word of God. But as a church with elders, of course, then, you know, you're going to respect the decisions that they make, them prayerful, spiritual decisions that are critical to our lives. And that is very much part of it. The task of the preacher is to use the word accurately. Big mistake a lot of people make. They think the preacher has to be able to just recall everything. He's got everything available. Quote the past. Sometimes it kind of irritates me, you know, when you get people, sort of quoting the sermons. You know, I want to see the Word of God. I want to see him looking in the Word of God, dependent upon Scripture. I would rather hear a good lesson from the Word of God than hear a good spokesman. You know, I've been to missions before where they have the big name preacher and they've got this name on. The task of the preacher is to use the word accurately. Same as the elders. If you are looking for elders who have got all the answers, then you will be struggling to find any elders. Elders are men who know where to find the answers. They understand and they know how to find them and how to guide you through with the Scripture. And even with the preachers, the same. And preachers will prepare themselves and will equip themselves. Yesterday, our brother's meeting, Brother George, he brought out this booklet he's got. And this booklet, in fact, we're going to reproduce these. This booklet he's got has got all the questions and answers, some of the key questions you may come into contact with. And so if somebody asks you a tricky question, you can pull out that, look at it, and guide you through, and you can give an answer. That's preparation. That's being prepared. That is being equipped with a tool that can be used to enable answers to be given. And these are the kind of things. It's not necessarily just memory. It's not necessarily just what's in here. It's about what's in here and what we take from the Word of God. Preacher's job is to teach the Word of God. Not to be an impressive speaker, not to be some flamboyant person in a fancy, attire, and he's got his name up in lights and big brochures with his picture on, and that is not it. This is talking about men who were equipped and ready to teach the Word of God and be able to present it in a way that people will understand it and be able to guide through and maybe say, I haven't got the answer for that, but I know where to find it. Let's go. Let's look for this answer. And that answer is there. He says, be ready in season and out of season. That is prepared at all times to give an answer. And there'll be times when you have to navigate through the Scriptures in order to get those answers. But the readiness is knowing where to find it and being able to provide those things that people need to teach the truth. So the church needs to submit to the Word, because the Word is what the preacher is using. And likewise with the eldership as well. They submit to the elders because the elders are the guidance of the Word of God. They are the spiritual leaders in the church. And so we need to respond. It's no good having a shepherd and not listening to what the shepherd is saying. And so with elders in place, if an elder is guiding you into a direction, you need to follow it. If the elder comes up and says, listen, I need to see you more in church, you're not here. Why you're not here, you're not going to spiritually grow. That tells me I need to pay attention to what this spiritual leader is telling me. He's saying I can see a bit of a gap in your spiritual life, Paul, and we need to adjust that, because otherwise I'm concerned I'm going to lose you. And as the shepherd, my concern is there. And with the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the key is the Scripture. The work of the preacher is to guide the church through the Word, to share the truths. You know, to give the truths of teaching. The truths are found in the Word of God. People don't want to hear what you think. People don't want to hear your opinion. They want to hear what the Bible is teaching, the Word and truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so to share the truths, giving God's Word and truth and in sincerity. And so we have these roles like the preacher, evangelist, minister. Preachers are involved in vast areas. If you start a new ministry like we did when we began in Leicester, then you multitask. And preachers here, and those who have grown up in families with preachers will understand that you multitask. If you don't have elders, somebody's got a shepherd who will do the best they can to do that. If you don't have deacons, somebody's got a deacon. Somebody's got to do those tasks. Somebody's got to prepare the sermons and song lead and all these things. But as the church grows and develops, that is the time when things then begin to be set in place. And we start to establish roles for individuals within the congregation. That's what we're striving to do here. You know, with our training classes that we're preparing, so we can help equip people to take on roles. So that we can say, when we have a baptism, you don't have to call on me, you can go and call on the brothers who have trained to do a baptism. They know how to fill it, they know how to empty it, and they know how to carry out a baptism. And so the preacher can do his part with the teaching part and making sure that the people are ready, and then he can call upon these people and they can come along and say, we'll get the baptism ready, and we'll completely carry out the baptism. And so all of this is part of the roles. As you progress, it progresses out through development and growth. And so preachers are involved in vast areas and need to be versatile, but there needs to be a time when that changes and that the church begins to develop and grow, which is what this congregation is looking to do now. The Bible should determine who and what a preacher is and does. Just like an elder and just like a deacon, even with a preacher, any responsibility or role will either have instruction that is biblical instruction or guidance through example. It'll give you some of that, but where it is determined is through scripture, no other way. And so who and what a preacher is, or who and what a preacher does, is determined not through opinion of man, but through the scripture. And so we see what the Bible teaches, or we see what examples the Bible gives for us to understand and establish the role. And so there are several references to a preacher in scripture. First of all, you know, we look at this aspect of the responsibility. Some of them are quite common, and one common word that is used, of course, is a minister. You know, a minister. The word minister, we're going to look at passage. The word minister was used in the Old Testament in a different way. It meant to serve in a capacity, but especially regarding worship. That was a minister. So if you go in the Old Testament and you look at the definition, it was referred to as the one who served in these forms of worship and everything else like that. So that was in the Old Testament when they talked about the minister. That's what they would be thinking about. They meant serving at the altar, serving at the temple. The New Testament uses the word in a similar way, a kind of a serving. But it became the term used for one who served in the church. That's how we progress. And you'll find when you study scripture, and certainly when you look in the Old Testament, a lot of words that were used in the Old Testament developed, and then they utilized them in the New Testament, and they had kind of different similar meanings, but they were used in different areas of ministry. And so this word minister then was used for one who served in the church. In the Old Testament, it was for one who ministered at the altar or at the worship. And so the New Testament, they defined the word or utilized that word in that way. let's take a look at some passages. We're going to look, first of all, in Ephesians 6, verse 21.
For that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord, who make all things known to you.
Okay, thank you. So this Tychicus, he was a beloved brother in the church, and he was also a faithful minister, so he was serving. He was one serving in the church. Today it's used to refer to someone who serves in the church, somebody who serves in a full-time capacity, somebody who is serving within a congregation like this, and a congregation like that. We all minister in various ways. We all have responsibilities and tasks as Christians. But specifically when we talk about this, you'll look at examples of these ministers who were ministering to the people in these churches. The Apostle Paul refers to them in that way. And these were men who were serving in these capacities. And they was often giving up their trades and their careers and things that they were doing to focus on this specific work that they were involved in. And so when we talk about the minister, you're usually referring to the one who's serving in that full-time capacity. Another term that is used that we'll come across, so we've got the minister, we also come across the word preacher used in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the word preacher was talking about to gather as an assembly. That's what it referred to gather as an assembly. And like other words, they develop, they change, or they progress into meaning other things. The word then developed to refer to the one who actually called the group together. So the one who, when they had a gathering, then when they called this group together, that was like the preacher. He was called the preacher. Well, the preacher called the group together. He called the group together. Initially, preacher was the meeting. Then it became to the preacher was the one who gathered the people together for the assembly. And then it referred to the one who spoke in the assembly. So you see, it developed. It went from these different stages, but it all was associated with a person who was playing a role within that assembly there. And that's how Bible words develop over time and used in various ways over time. And that's why we talk about context, understanding context and understanding the background. So the word developed from calling the meeting to then, from the meeting to calling the meeting to then the one who spoke in the meeting. And so again, it developed into the New Testament. In the New Testament, preacher refers to the one who proclaims to the assembly. He's the one that proclaims to those who are gathered, or the one who proclaims to people when he's out in his ministry. And the idea is that he is a spokesman. He's a spokesman for the word of God. Not a philosopher, you know, not some amazing historian, not somebody who's got a specific subject, and that is his key thing, and he fits it around. This is talking about the one who proclaims the gospel, the word of God. And so he is the one who is proclaiming the word of God. The idea is he's a spokesman for the word of God. That's what we want to hear. You know, you won't save people through your own ideas. You won't save people if you just use philosophies or if you just use these kind of things. We need the word of God in order to teach that. So that was who he was, someone who could proclaim. Not proclaim anything. His role was to be proclaiming the word of God. When you hear him speaking, he's speaking the word of God. When he's preaching the word of God. When he's referring to lessons of benefit to the people, he's from the word of God. And obviously, you know, you use areas to guide through that, through examples, etc. Another term we've come across is evangelist. Okay? You won't find the word evangelist in the Old Testament. Okay, it's not in there, it's not used in the Old Testament. It's made up of two words. Evangelist is made up of two words. The first word is good. Good. And the second word is to announce. To announce. That's the two words that the word evangelist is made up from. It's all in the New Testament. It means one who announces or proclaims the good news. And so when you link them together, it gives you a definition of the meaning of evangelist. Now, do you see how they all link together? All these expressions and words. It means one who announces or proclaims the good news. And it is also used to refer to a preacher in that respect. So he can be referred to as an evangelist in referring to that. All the terms refer to the preacher, okay? Minister, one who serves the Lord and the Lord's people, preacher, what he proclaims, evangelist refers to the gospel, and this will occur within, you know, their congregation. You know, that's how you will identify. And so it's important to note that they're not identified by name, they're identified by practice. What they're teaching, how they go about it, the ministerial role that comes with that is defined through what you see. Remember the elders, when we look at elders, we always say, as I said, my father's an elder. And I spoke to my father, Saturday evening I had a bit of supper with him, so I want to sit with him. He's too old to come out, so I want to sit with him for a few hours and we have a bit of supper together. And we always talk about the church. And he always gives me some thoughts to think about. One of the things that he always said was that you will see your elders before you even appoint them. They're already serving in that capacity. And you can see that standing out in them. And so too, it's not about the name, it's about the practice. It's about being able to see these things in action in order to have a clearer understanding. Scriptural qualities of a minister. Elders and deacons, we have our lists. We've been looking at them. So we can go into the Bible and we can pull up a list and it gives you lists of things. If you remember, we have things that are absolute. Must be a man. Well, that's clear. Must be a father. So he's going to have children. That's clear. So many of these areas are very clear. Then there are other areas, like, for example, you know, he's got to be hospitable. But we always said, well, how hospitable? Well, until it's noticeable. Well, all these lists are there for us so that we can identify through that. And also so men can adapt their lives and say, right, this, you know, if I aspire to be an elder, these are the things I've got to start directing my life in. I've got to work on these things in my life in order to achieve these things. These are scriptural qualities. And then if you remember, we said that with the elders as well, there are also examples. So we have examples in there. There are no passages that list the qualities of preachers. We look at the preachers themselves in order to understand. And so through this, we look at the example. Now we've seen passages referring to the preacher, you know, needs to be equipped, needs to be able to teach, needs to be able to preach the truth. But unlike elders and deacons, you don't come across a list that says, that, you know, this is the list, you know, he's got to have a children, he's got to be married. You don't have a list like that. So we look at the preachers themselves in the New Testament for guidance. Like we do with any of our ministry that we do as a church, it's scriptural. Our format of how we worship on a Sunday comes from the early church. The beginning, right back to Acts chapter 2, all the giving, the communion, the gathering together, the fellowship, the singing, you know, singing non-instrumental. All of those things are examples we take through Scripture. So we don't always have specific demands, but when we look at the structure of the church, we then learn how we act as a church. And so for things like instrumental music, things like that, we are going by the pattern of the Word of God. That's where we get our teaching. It's exactly the same for the preacher. We look at the preachers themselves in the New Testament for the guidance that we need. So for elders, we've got lists and we have examples as well. For deacons, we have lists and we have examples as well. But for preachers, we have examples, and they're things that are just as important and just as critical. Because we see the likes of the Apostle Paul, when he speaks to the likes of Timothy and Titus, he's giving them specific information, and we know that these things then are as they should be. At the start, the apostles fulfilled all the roles. Remember, we talked about multitasking. These guys were doing it all. The apostles were acting as the elders. The apostles were acting as the deacons. The apostles were acting as... They were just filling every role. And the Apostle Paul was then informing them of the importance of getting the structure together, getting things into place. And their role was specifically outlined by the responsibilities that he gave them, that there were certain things that they were to pass on and to enable to develop, to enable the church to be good. And so just like today, in a church with no elders, you know, the preacher often needs to fill in these roles, but it should never be ongoing. I knew a preacher, I met up with him one time, he was up north, and he said to me, "We're studying elders, Paul." I said, "That's great." He says, "Yeah," but he said, "I'm a bit worried about if we get elders, how it's going to affect me." And straight away I thought, man, that is the worst thing I would ever expect to hear from anybody in the ministry as a preacher. That'd be the last thing, the absolute joy of elders within the congregation is critical. And so though there are some congregations where they will say, "We don't need elders, we're doing okay as we are," no, that is wrong. It's 100% wrong. You need elders, you need structure, and the preachers will fulfill their role, but there are other things that God has set in place that are going to fulfill the other roles, such as the deacons and the elders. That's why we're studying this. And so the apostles were acting as the elders and the deacons, but it wasn't to remain that way, because the apostle Paul was instructing them how that would change. And just like today in the church, you know, that same development takes place. And so they develop men to fill these roles. You know, they develop men. Elders, deacons have lists of qualifications, but the preachers have models to guide us, and they're the things that we're looking at. Kind of realise we're running out of time here. And that there's so much information we have. All of these lessons are being recorded, and you can go back and refer to them. And again, if you've got questions, you can ask, just let me know. You know, if we don't have time in here, then just message me or come and see me, and we'll address anything, and I'll give time to come and see you or meet you or do anything that is necessary to make sure that you're clear on what we're looking at. And so what we're doing next is we're going to look at the examples in the scripture of the preacher, so that we can get an outline understanding of the preacher and how he becomes a preacher. You know, who gives him that right to do that? What is the responsibility of the church? What is the responsibility? Can a man just self-appoint himself into these roles? And all of these areas are things that we're going to look at. And so what we'll do is, in order to understand and these things, we're going to look at the examples in Scripture. We'll tackle these, we'll start these, God willing, next week. As I say, there's been questions asked. I've made notes of them, and they will come up. They're going to come up. We will be looking in detail into how we appoint elders, how we appoint deacons, even the laying on of hands. We're going to look at all of that. And we'll go to it through Scripture so that we get a clearer understanding. But what we'll do, we'll stop at that point, because otherwise we'll end up having to recap most of that again, and then we'll approach that again. Okay.